All right, guys, welcome to the Hot Widows Club podcast. My name is Crystal. I'm the Hot Widow of Eric. Tonight, recording remotely, we have the beautiful Allie, the very Hot Widow of Ross.
Hey, guys.
And special guest, Jean, who is the very Hot Widow of Alan. Welcome, Jean.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. I've been dying to hear your story for a couple of weeks, so I can't wait to see how things go. The other day, after Tommy's episode launched, Jean said, oh my gosh, what a story. My goodness. That was such a tough story last week. And I am just sending all my love and positive energy to Tommy and his family as they navigate this world that they're in. And happy birthday, Tommy. He's almost 30.
Aw, happy birthday, Tommy.
Happy birthday.
I remember his birthday because it's the day before Eric died. That's why I remember that. So I'm coming up on Eric's, I don't know, Allie calls it Heaven Day. I just call it the day he died. So that's an event. But as I've been talking about all month already, you guys know that that's just a tough month for me. But doing better. I had a rough couple weeks, didn't I, Al?
Mm-hmm. Yes, you did.
I didn't even want to talk.
Yeah. Do you want to talk now about it?
I mean, I don't think
what's,
I want to.
What's been making it so hard? What's been heavy on your heart?
I don't know. And I think that's what's scaring me the most is that I really can't figure out why it's happening. But I was in a bad, bad space.
I think part of it, I mean, I'm not in your mind, but I think part of it is, you know, this is the month that Eric died, and there's a lot of heavy memories in this month. You know, you can't help but go back to the last Valentine's Day with him and the last Super Bowl with him. And all those memories just fled back, and they're heavy. They're heavy. I mean, Eric was super sick, as you say. And it's hard to like think of his last moments like that. And so I feel like that is part of it.
Yeah, I'm sure. And Jean will have, I bet Jean, you'll have some more to share too, as Jean was quite the caretaker for Alan. That caretaking is a big piece of this journey. And it's a big piece of the trauma that you go through when you lose someone, because you lose that role as a caretaker and you lose that spouse and father and all the son and brother and all those things. So stinks. But I am getting better. I wouldn't even talk to Allie for a couple of days. I said, I don't want to talk. I just want to be alone for a couple of days.
Mm-hmm. And that's okay.
What tools do you have to kind of help yourself deal with that?
Well, I think I knew I needed space. I knew I needed some time alone. And so I called for it. Instead of overextending myself, which I do, I just said, no, you're staying home, live in your, I call it live in my mess. And I did. And I just existed and I took care of my kids. I went to work and I focused on that, knowing that that's what's most important to me. I think that's how I ended up getting through, which is good. So anyways, Al, what updates do you have?
Oh, boy. I have a lot of updates.
Oh.
So I feel like...
Any juicy surprises?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Well, you know about it, but it's kind of funny for our audience, I think.
Cool.
The first one is, okay, it's February Heart Month. Okay, so I have read that more Americans die from heart disease than anything else. So anyways, take care of your hearts. The second thing is that we went on a ski trip, which was so fun. We visited Ross's best friend, Pat, in Vail. And I just had such a nice time. Like, I have been wanting to ski. I love to ski, just so you all know. And I love being on the mountain. And there's such a rush of being like on top of a mountain, and the only way to go down is to like to ski. And
bitch, I rolled down that motherfucking hill. There is more ways to get down there than ski.
I mean, yes, there are. But the best way is to ski. So a couple things. One, it was so nice to be around Pat. he was Ross's best friend. So I just felt so close to Ross. So thank you, Pat, for allowing me to do that. I really needed that. And I feel like Pat also felt like he needed, you know, he told us that he felt really close to Ross too, which was really cool.
I have to tell you guys, so I was blessed to witness this relationship between Allie and Pat, of two people who absolutely loved Ross. And I went to bed one night early because, well, I do that all the time. And I laid in my bed and waited for Allie while her and Pat sat up and treated Ross stories. And it was really sweet to listen to them and to hear them laugh and to hear them just talk about Ross. So
yeah, it was so nice. Thank you, Pat. It like meant the world to me. As you guys know that have lost somebody, you just crave like any story that you can get, any picture, anything. And so he's like a book of knowledge. Like, he knew Ross so well. And like, some of his stories are just so funny. It's just like they had a best friend party wild phase. And so it's like fun to hear these stories. It's like a side of Ross that I didn't know. But I always knew that Ross was fun. It was just like, you know, being with the guys. And so that was a blessing. So it was a blessing to be around Pat. It was a blessing. I felt like closer to Ross. And then to ski, it was just like, I just love it. And I want to do it every year.
We need to share some wise wisdom that Pat shared with us, which is, hey, girls, I got you some tamales. And we said, Pat, what's in a tamale? He said, I don't really know. I think it's just a vehicle for the meat. No, the husk. The husk is just the vehicle for the meat.
Polenta and all that other stuff. Yeah.
I can never look at a tamale again. Thank you, Pat.
Oh, my gosh. So funny. Yeah,
that dude is a hoot.
He's so funny.
Thank you for your hospitality and your kindness.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Nose and blast.
It was. The second thing is Ross's birthday was this month. So he would have been 41 this year. It's really weird because I'm the same age that he died. So it's like I will always outlive him, you know, like after this year. And that's just a weird thing. But we always will celebrate his birthday. And it's a really big deal to me and my boys. And so something that was really, really special is that Gus's teacher had his entire class celebrate Ross's birthday. They wrote Gus little notes and they signed the, it's called The Invisible String, this book. And they all signed it and they wrote him little notes. And it was just like, people are so good in this world. And this teacher is amazing to realize that as a child, like they want to talk about their parent that isn't here. They want to still talk about him. It's still a huge part of his life. And I just am so thankful to his teacher that allowed him to share with his entire class his dad. It's just so beautiful. Then the third thing, I have so many updates. The Super Bowl.
Yeah, Chiefs. Let's go. Are you a Chiefs fan, Jean?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, good. Okay, awesome.
And Cornhuskers. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Good. All the good teams.
Yeah, but I loved the golf that day because it went into, you know, extra holes. I mean, it was just a fabulous sports day.
Gina, how often do you golf?
I'd like to say, three, four times a week, but that would be lying. Maybe I'm in California right now. So like this week, I'm going to make sure I do it at least three times.
Okay.
My time in paradise is coming to an end.
Okay.
I've only got 10 days left.
Oh, no.
May you be blessed with golf at least 3 days a week.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, sorry, Al. Go ahead. Go Chiefs.
Gene, you're so cute. The Super Bowl. So, yes, the Chiefs won. Super exciting. Crystal knows because I talked to her. I was so emotional. Like, that was such an emotional thing because it hit me. Like, I wasn't expecting to feel so down, but guys, it hit me like a ton of bricks. So Gus, we watched the game. And Gus, like, throughout the entire game, just kept saying, I wish Daddy was here. Like, I wish Dad was here. I want to play catch. I want to play football catch with Dad. Just over and over. And I was like, I'll play with you, you know, like I, and so we did, and it's just not the same. And so that was heart-wrenching, absolutely heart-wrenching, that like, no matter what I do, I can't play both roles. I can't be the mom and I can't be the dad too, you know, like I can try my best, but I just can't. And it's times like those where, you know, that would have been a big day for Ross to like watch the game, to cook for us, to grill, and he wasn't there. And obviously I was happy for the Chiefs, but I was just like, it was sad for me. It was very sad.
Yeah, that's the day my rage started, remember?
Yes.
Yes, I recall.
Okay, we need details on this rage.
It just started that day, and I was just, I wanted to just be alone. And I think it was because I had a lot of people who were like, hey, let's watch a Super Bowl. Let's do something for the Super Bowl. And I'm like, no, I just want to be home alone. Me and my kids doing our thing. That's all I want to do. And I think it's because Eric and I watched the last Super Bowl at home together in bed. And so I don't think that I have the energy to go watch a Super Bowl anywhere else. But I have the opposite, Al. So I think that I kind of wish that my kids did more of that. But my kids just don't. They don't say that. They don't say, wonder if it's my kids' age too, but they're just not as like, gee, I wish daddy was here. And I think it's because for them, I think if they knew that they said that, I would probably start crying. And I think they don't want to see me cry anymore.
Crying is very healthy.
I know. But for them, I think that they just don't, I don't know. My kids are a little, I don't know, but they don't say that. They're not like, you know, gee, I wish dad was here anymore. Which is sad to me. I mean, we talk about him all the time. Like, we talk stories, but they just don't say, I miss him or I wish he was here, which kind of breaks my heart. But I'm grateful that yours do that all the time. Keeps, you know, keeps that good energy going.
Yeah. I don't know why they do that, but I do think it's, for Gus, it's because he is very into sports and, you know, he's around other dads a lot. And I think he is recognizing that, you know, his dad isn't here to play catch with, and his mom is. And as you guys all know, I try my best to play football and do all the things with him. And
she's like John Elway.
I think I'm pretty good, honestly. Like I might even be better than Ross, but I just, you know, it's just something about a dad. It's something.
Come again. Did you just say I might be better than Ross? There goes that air. You wonder where Gus gets that confidence, baby. It's right.
I mean, I can throw a spiral, guys.
Redheaded mama. Oh my God.
You guys, I have to tell you something. I think I'm realizing I was born to be a boy mom. I just was.
Jean, do you guys have kids? You and Alan have kids?
No. I married an older man. He's 21 years older.
Oh.
Got married in 91. I had never been married and no kids. I was like 34.
Okay. Okay.
66. Yeah, I got to do some math someday. But anyway, he had two. He was a widow and he had two grown sons. They are less than 10 years younger than I am.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, but they've been very accepting. Their mother had a long, horrible, lingering cancer. And they were, I think, happy to see their dad get married. And like one of them said, you know, Dad, are you changing the sheets? When he was in his single period of his life, one son said, you know, do you ever like check the dates on things in your refrigerator? And they were really, yeah, concerned about it. So
Alan needed a little woman in his life. All right. Well, you bet. Well, Allie, yes, no doubt you were made to be a boy. Are you kidding me?
I mean, I would love to have a girl. I just think, like, now that I'm going through this journey, I'm like, God just made me to be a boy mom. I just, like, I've embraced it, you guys. I've embraced it hardcore. I even have a backpack that says boy mom.
Wait, you don't just have a backpack. You have hats, you have t-shirts, you have sweatshirts. You have everything that says boy mom.
I'm just very proud.
For Christmas, I got Allie in my boy mom era shirt.
Oh, yes. I love that sweatshirt. It's pink, too.
Yes. Yes. So, Yes, Allie.
Yes.
You were meant to be born. What else you got, baby?
Okay,
what
else is like, in your... I'll save some of these for next time. But the last one that I have to share that's kind of juicy. And it's just hilarious, you guys. So this has never happened to me. I went to a painting thing, like one of those painting wine things with my good friend Lee, who's a widow. I absolutely adore her. We're doing our painting, you know, like the instructor shows you how to paint. You guys, the instructor kept coming around, was like, just like in awe of my painting. And I have no artistic talent. Like it is not good. But she just kept coming around and being like, wow, it's amazing. Wow. I'm like, what is going on? And then at the very end, she hands me her number. Nobody else. And I go, Lee, is that what I think it is? Like, and she goes, yeah, she's hitting on you.
Allie. That's lovely.
I know. I'm like, I'm flattered, guys. I can't get a guy number, but I can get a woman. So anyways, I had to share.
Oh, Al.
If you want to cross the street sometime,
cross the street. Jeez, you're the best.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, that's hilarious, Al. I can't believe that happened. Of all people, you.
And I was like, do I give off these vibes? And she's like... Lee's like, not at all, but she was just shooting her shot. She was shooting her shot.
You probably were just naturally yourself.
Yeah. I mean, I just am naturally myself all the time. I feel like I'm just, I don't know. Anyways.
Oh, man. I wish I had something great for an update, but I just don't have anything. I went shopping yesterday. I'm not supposed to be shopping. You guys know that. But I did, and so I got a few things. Shout out to Four Sisters Boutique, my favorite place, and really like my new treasure, so that's good. I went out with my friends from college 1 week ago. I wore my cowboy hat, which I should wear when we record. Like, that should be what I wear.
Oh, yeah.
I was talking to Emily, and someone said, hey, do you want to have a drink? And I was like... oh, I'll just have one. And she says, what? I thought you weren't drinking. And so she said she listened to my podcast. And I said, no, like, I'll have a drink. I just don't drink to excess. So to clarify that to our listeners who are wondering, do I drink or not drink? I will have a drink. All right, Jean, I want to hear your story so bad.
Okay, first of all, I have to tell you how grateful I am to you two and the Hot Widows podcast, because it's kind of forced me to look at things and reflect back on my life with Alan and the whole caregiving process. And I got to tell you, I got rid of some shit. You know, I had so much shame, and that's, I don't know if that's the right psychological term, but, you know, I had to place Alan in a care home. I mean, I wanted to take care of him at home, and I did, and I did, and I did, and we brought in help. But with his horseshit neurological disorder, he had a rare form of Parkinson's, and it would be funny if it wasn't your spouse, but he just kind of did whatever he wanted to do. And they call it loss of executive function.
Oh.
For an example, he fell all the time. I mean, we used to joke that, you know, falling is the new F word because he fell so much. Elbows, bloody knees. Stitches, teeth, concussions. Anyway, but there was sort of like his judgment kind of gradually. Oh, and then one day, you know, I walk in the kitchen and he's got his rifle and he's all set to just take that squirrel out that's on the feeder, on the bird feeder. But we have a house. We have a next door neighbor. I mean, it's like, oh, okay, let's stop now and let's think about this. it wasn't like dementia, but it was some significant personality changes.
How long did that go on, Jean?
Oh, a few years. But in the end, it was just a matter, I mean, not end, but the reason I had to place him outside the home was because you want to keep him safe, safe from himself, from others, you know, and just, you know, being a husband in the house, you know, I'd, you know, get ready to take the trash out. And he'd stand up to help me and he'd fall. And then he'd try to walk in and he'd fall. And it was like, I'm doing that. So then we, you know, we'd have World War 87 and then it's a very weird dynamic. And in front of anyone else, he was just fabulous. All of a sudden, I'm the one saying, you know, I really don't think you should do this. I really don't think it's safe, you know, and he's looking at me like, what? Who are you? Why can't I, you know? I mean, the whole driving thing.
So take us back. So you and Alan met when? How old was he and how old were you?
I was like 34. We met at work. We worked in a big company. No, I was not his secretary, but I was a colleague. And because he was a widow, he had put his, for a fundraiser, put his lake place weekend in as a thing to bid on. And I had just learned how to play golf with some girls. I thought, oh, this would be great. Well, you know, then all these phone calls, you know, we have to have a planning lunch. We have to do this, do that. And I'm thinking, you know, is he hitting on me? Jesus, Mary and Joseph, he's got gray hair, you know?
This dude is old.
Yeah, this dude is old, is right. Anyway, we got married in 1991. You know, we had a lot of fun, but this disease kind of sneaks up on you. You know, it's a series of little things that pretty soon you're like in the doctor saying, you know, his handwriting is gone, his posture is gone, his voice is very soft, he's doing weird stuff, his behavior's a little off. So, of course, the doctor says, well, why don't you quit caffeine? That doesn't help his handwriting. And he just, you know, you think of Parkinson's, you think of Michael J. Fox, tremors. He didn't have, he had a little bit of tremor in his hand. The tremors got really bad if anybody was looking at him. And then that graduated into his feet. You know, if anyone, like if you're standing waiting for an elevator, waiting for him to get on an elevator, well, if anyone's looking at him, he couldn't do it. I mean, his feet would just be like stuck in cement.
When did that start?
He was diagnosed officially in 2004.
Shortly after he got married then, huh?
But it was Parkinson's or any of these neurodegenerative diseases, you know, are hard to diagnose. Anyway, they finally said it's a Parkinsonianism. And that always pissed him off because he was like, what do I actually have? Why do I have an ism? But then in the end, we donated his body to the University of Minnesota anatomy program for the dental school students and med students and, yeah, mortuary science students. I mean, but then we took some brain tissue and sent that down to the Mayo Brain Bank in Jacksonville, Florida. So we got a definitive diagnosis that is, you know, we're very appreciative of because now both sons have that and the grandkids all have that. Because there's, you know, who knows if it's genetic or what?
I don't know much about it. So can his kids get tested to see if they are like prone to it? Like, how does that work?
In a word, no. There's no reason to think that what he had, it's called progressive supranuclear palsy, PSP. And unfortunately, that's what Linda Ronstadt has right now. And she can no longer sing because the voice just gets very, very soft. Anyway, so his sons will just probably always really take good care of their health because you just never know.
Is there a way to prevent it, or like what causes it? I don't know much about it.
No, except that my own hunch is chemicals. You know, stay away from Roundup. Eat organic. Drink more water.
I think that was Eric's thing too. It was around chemicals.
Yeah. Even though he was white collar in his company, you know, they processed grain. And at one time they did that with hexane, which is now a known carcinogen. They don't do that anymore. So who knows how this stuff compounds over your lifetime? And he was a big gardener. You know, he liked to.
Oh, cool.
All that stuff. Yeah.
So flowers or commodity?
Well, he used to grow sunflowers just because that was one of the commodities that he worked with in his job.
Cool.
Yeah. Yeah. And the birds just love stuff like that.
Is he a bird man?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I love that.
I love him. How old was he when he was diagnosed?
68.
So he struggled with it for 14 years till it eventually took his life.
Right.
And you were his caretaker for 14 years. My goodness.
Yeah. Caregiver. That's the proper parlance, you know. You know, you don't do this stuff alone. We were fortunate that we had a Parkinson's Center in the Twin Cities that is considered like a world-recognized center for Parkinson's and all these other movement disorders. And the people there are fabulous. You know, the doctors, they can't do a lot for you. But, you know, we do speech therapy and occupational therapy and physical therapy. And then they helped me, you know, the social worker. And I had just a fabulous support group.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, I'd be totally bananas if I hadn't had that support group.
What state did you guys live in?
Minnesota.
Oh, Minnesota. Okay. What part of Minnesota? Do you feel comfortable sharing?
Well, sure. Yeah, the Twin Cities, Minneapolis.
Oh, okay. God. Oh, I think you mentioned that. Okay. My best friend is in Duluth.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Great town.
It is beautiful up there. So beautiful. But Minneapolis is great. I mean, they have amazing healthcare all around that area. Gosh, you're lucky you're in such a great area. Do you think that they were able to help to prolong his journey, like through medicine, or was this normal, like this progressive 12 years normal in this disease process?
Typical prognosis for his PSP is like 1 to 5 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And he lived 14.
How did he live 14? Like what was so different?
He's a total rock star.
Yeah, Alan.
He was in tip top physical shape.
Yeah, baby.
Worked out. He was a healthy eater and drank water. Yeah, drank a few beers, a little scotch here and there. But I mean, he really took care of his body.
Body's a temple.
Yes. All those falls in those first, I don't know how many years, we didn't break any bones.
What kind of scotch did he drink?
The cheapest.
Excellent.
He was pretty frugal. His mom, you know, oh my God, yeah. Oh, he'd drink anybody else's scotch.
Alan, you were awesome.
Alan, that cool freaking dude.
Oh, yeah. Very cool.
What? So, interesting. Like, okay, so he's so much older than you. You're like, this dude is old. I'm young. Like, how did he seal? Like, how did he win your heart?
Well, I'll tell you something. At our job, he always said thank you. And I had a job where I was into the, you know, we were writing public policy stuff that's so dry you could just about fall asleep. And his area, you know, we had to kind of talk managers. You were always wrestling some manager to go public or talk to somebody on Capitol Hill. And he always said, oh, sure, I'll help you out. Mm-hmm. You write him a speech or do whatever, a position paper, a white paper. Oh, my God, I could fall asleep. But he always said thank you. it was just a lot of fun. Golf, fished. I learned how to fish. In fact, that was a condition of our marriage. He said, you know, if we're going to get married, I would really like you to take an interest in fishing. And I said, okay. And if we get married and you want me to live in your house, I have a condition, and that is, you know, that cleaning lady that you get every 2 weeks, well, she stays. People on board, you know? Because I still worked. You know, I didn't want to just, I mean, I am not the little woman type at all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't strike me as a little woman type, Jean, at all. Oh, my gosh. I wonder if I could be a little woman type. I feel like I could. I'm very good at keeping house and doing tasks and chores. Absolutely. Because I'm very efficient.
And that's a, what do you call that? A household engineer. I mean, we women need to make sure we don't put our thumbs on the foreheads of each other, for God's sake. And this, okay, I'm getting on a soapbox, but stop saying, I'm sorry.
Yes.
For anything. I have a friend named Fred. He stopped me one time and just said, why are you saying you're sorry? And I kind of went, oh, and he said, oh, stop it. That made an impression. And if you listen to women, sometimes they're wishy-washy and, oh, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. No, you're not. You know, say what you got to say and stand up and put your shoulders back, you know?
There you go, Jean. Speaking of Jean, let's talk about something, and maybe you know, about the mayor of Omaha recently came out with a really bold statement, and I'm not a political person, nor do I select political sides ever in any scenario.
But you have to vote.
I do vote. Of course I vote. Yes, 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 yes. But I don't necessarily side with a certain party of any sort. I side with whomever I feel is right. Anyways, she came out and said, hey, listen, I'm not sending my team of people into your meetings anymore because you're not kind to them. And I'm not going to stand for that. And she yanks her people out of these city council meetings. And I'm like, wow, what a bold movement as a woman. And like, she's just known for doing that. So I just, Jean, as you were mentioning that, I thought I would bring that back up.
I'm from Omaha, but I know of that mayor, but I don't know any details.
Yeah, I was pretty proud of her.
We need more women leaders, no matter the party.
That's what Allie says all the time. This room needs leadership.
Yeah, I don't say women, I say leadership.
Yeah, Allie, which basically means she would like to boss a few folks around. I mean, why are you afraid to say that? Like, you should be like, if you've got the skills to lead a room, lead the room.
No, I'm just like, what drives me crazy is when people just stare at each other. And I'm like, let's act here. Let's do some act, you know? So I just have to say something when I see it. And it usually comes out like, okay, guys, let's do something. And this is how we're going to do it.
And you should. You should keep that up. You should be proud of that.
I am.
I agree. Be bold. So, Jean, what year did Alan pass away?
2018. June 15th. Yep.
Okay. Oh, geez. June 15th is a major day. What is that day?
Well, June 14th is Flag Day.
Is it VJ Day, Victory in Japan?
What?
I think that's earlier.
It's a World War II battle. It's something. Yeah. I'm looking it up. I'm going to Google it, right, June 13th.
And that was the end of the World War II, VJ Day.
Okay. Well, I don't know. I'm looking it up, Jean. I'll figure it out. While we're talking. Okay, so he passed away June 15th. What year did you say?
2018.
And where did you guys lived in Minnesota at that time?
Yeah, he was on hospice for 8 months.
Oh my gosh, that's a long time.
Graduated from hospice. Yep, yep. But you know, it was such a slow, gradual decline. He knew what was coming. He had a very, very strong faith in God. Also had a very good friend through the Parkinson's community who was ahead of him, in that he had some horrible, serious fall, ended up in a level one trauma center for a week. I mean, he was in bad shape. But then he went on hospice, and when we saw that friend told Al, hey, this hospice isn't so bad. I get a massage. I get a cocktail. So when we went to get Al to get hospice for him, you know, he was like, oh, good. Yeah, I want a massage. I want a foot massage, and I want a Brandy Manhattan. he was on for 8 months.
Wow.
He kept going because he wanted those massages.
Oh, and yeah. The Brandy.
Yeah.
It's kept him alive.
Brandy Hattie. Yep.
Brandy Hattie. Oh, my gosh. Okay, so, Jean, then since Minnesota, so 2018, that's the year Eric was diagnosed, so that's 5 years ago. So what's been going on these last 5 years? How have you been working through losing out?
Well, COVID.
Yes.
Well, I got to back up. And this just really pisses me off. When we were still in the house, some creep was bugging me, repeatedly flipping the bird bath over. Not stealing it, just flipping it over. Was taking mail out of the mailbox and cramming it here and there. And I was like, what is going on? I got the police involved. The real kicker was, at the time, I had this little dog. And 5:30 in the morning, had to go out, take her for a quick walk. And I had just done the pots, you know, for the holidays, you know, cram all that stuff. So I'm walking out and it's dark and I look over, this pot is gone. And I kind of went, oh, okay. Okay, dog, do your thing. Came back up. No, the stuff wasn't just stolen. It was laid out on this berm.
What?
But it was like, oh, this is too creepy. And I had to actually do a Bible study, yes, with this naughty mouth. I thought, yeah, I'm driving up. And I'm saying to God, okay, listen, this is weird. I'm calling the cops. But first, I'm going to go to Bible study. Blah, blah, blah. But I thought, I'm not saying a word to anyone. So I go home. Well, the police, a wonderful police woman came. And just said to me, yep, somebody's watching you. Somebody's trying to get to you. But let's go back outside and put this pot back together. And I'm kind of like, what? So then we did. We stood, cops, they never shut their engine off. So our big ass sedan is in the driveway. All my neighbors, you know, are like, what? What's with the cop car? And what's she doing with?
Big ass sedan. Jesus.
We cram all these things back, and then the cop says, Jean, throw your head back now and laugh. Whoever is doing this to you is watching. And I just kind of went, WTF. Then the week that Alan is actively dying, which is a term in hospice, anyway, then my lower level screen door was off. I'm walking the dog, I see it's off, and I'm thinking, oh, weird. Call my friend. She says, oh, just go downstairs, bring the screen in. We'll deal with it later. I'm sure it was the wind. So then I have a handyman there the day of Al's funeral service, memorial service, you know, and my 90-some-year-old mother standing there. And I'm like, he says to me, oh, you know, I can't find those screws. And the handle is all beat. I think somebody was trying to get in. So, man, I slapped that for sale sign on that house and got out of there.
Good for you, Jean. That is terrifying.
Did you ever find them?
No.
That is terrifying. I would be devastated.
I would be so scared.
Right. And the police were on it. I mean, they were in that little cul-de-sac. They were very, very good. There was no perp. They didn't find anybody. So I don't know. And it just gave me the creep. So I just sold the house, boom, and moved into an apartment.
What'd you do with Al's stuff? Did you take that all with you?
Yeah, you know, one smart thing was because I had to place him, and, you know, it sounds like, oh, you put him in a home. Well, I put him in four homes because they promise you the moon and the stars, and then they can't deliver. There's a book I want to recommend called Being Mortal. by Dr. Atul Gawande. He's a world-renowned physician. He kind of fell into the same trap, if you will. His own father was sick, and so they put him in a really pretty home, healthcare facility, with a front desk and a concierge, and, oh yeah, we'll get him down to the gym every day. Oh yeah, we'll do this, we'll do that. But nothing. They didn't do anything. And, you know, Al had too much on the ball upstairs. I mean, he was really sharp, but the PSP made his eyes close. His eyes hurt. So oftentimes people thought, oh, he's napping. Well, no, he's not napping. You ought to talk to him or maybe play cards with him. Anyway, so I moved him. He was in four different places. The last place was the best.
Oh, good.
Yeah. And it was a, you know, a home run by a nurse, owned and operated by a nurse, two homes side by side, six people in each house. All the caregivers were just so sweet, and they stay. I mean, I'm still in touch with them. I mean, that's unheard of. You know, I mean, okay, I'll get on my other soapbox. These caregivers are doing the Lord's work, for God's sake, and they make $15 an hour?
Yes.
You know, there's something wrong.
I agree.
There are some really big, big-hearted people out there who are doing such a fine job taking care of our loved ones, and they don't make any money.
I know.
Yeah.
Not enough, anyway.
It makes me really sad that you had to move him four times. It's not right.
That's got to be hard.
We moved him once because his good friend was in a place, and we were going to be right next door to each other. And then, like, 2 days after we moved in, his friend had this horrible fall and never did go back.
Oh, dang.
This is where, you know, the lunch room where they get fed is, I don't know how many feet away. Well, and, you know, it would take him 20 minutes to get there.
Oh.
What part of this don't you understand? Anyway, the final place that he was at was the perfect place.
That's perfect.
Yeah, the owner has a heart the size of Montana, and a little gruff, and not everybody likes her, and she swears like, you know, a sailor, but she clicked with Alan. Her deal is when they're there, they sit down like a family around a big table for lunch and for dinner.
I love that.
All the workers and the residents sit down. And if
I love that.
Yeah, if I were visiting, they'd say, pull up a chair, come on. It was great.
That is so awesome. So how many of these houses does she own?
Two.
Cool. And this is in the Twin Cities?
Right.
Yeah. Where'd you move after you sold the house? Did you move out of state or did you stay in Minnesota?
I stayed in Minnesota, moved into an apartment, one, you know, COVID, and then just last year, I moved into a townhouse.
Okay. Okay. And still in Minnesota?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Cool. That's awesome. I love Minnesota. It's such a beautiful state. So then traveling to California, that is so fun for you.
Yes.
What takes you out there?
Well, Alan and I used to come out here because we had a Marriott timeshare. So we used to golf out here, and we kind of did a deal with friends. So we, you know, spent a couple weeks out here in the winter. Then my friend loves it out here. She comes like in January and doesn't want to go home till May. But last year, her sister was sick. So I took one of her months and came out by myself. And I kind of thought, well, you know, you got to try this being a, you know, being a hot widow and all, right?
And you are so, smoke show.
So I did it for a month and I liked it. You know, it's Palm Springs is kind of an easy laid back environment. And, you know, I can go out to, you know, out to dinner, out to lunch, whatever you want to do by yourself. You don't feel conspicuous because you just start talking to whoever. Everybody's friendly.
Oh, that's good. That's great. Jean, how did you find us? How did you find the Hot Widows Club podcast?
Okay, well, I was taking my 95-year-old mother to a beauty shop appointment for fingernails. And I was reading the literature on the coffee table, and it was some magazine that featured you.
Oh, the Omaha Magazine.
Oh.
I may have ripped it out because I have a friend, I have a very good girlfriend who's, she had the traumatic cancer death like you guys had and has three kids, and I immediately thought of her. So I sent it to her, and but then I packed it with a bunch of stuff, and when I got out here, I thought, well, are you going to follow up? And so that's when I did. I must have Googled or did something, and all of a sudden you're on my, you know, whatever, that moonbeam from the sky that comes down, that's your, you know, your playlist or whatever. Now,
that's the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Amen.
Herself. Yeah.
Oh, herself. My God.
Anyway, so I clicked on something because you had a deal about grief is, I think of it as a many splendored thing. You never know when something or a song, and all of a sudden you're just like, oh, get the paddles, you know? My heart just can't.
Yeah.
Yes. But in other ways, it is beautiful. Grief is beautiful. You learn to love. You learn how you loved, and you get to see that in a different way. I think everyone loves someone until you lose someone that you love so much. Grief really puts that into perspective, and you see the beauty in loss and the pain and all of that that I've never experienced in my life. And I am not grateful that I've lost Eric, but I am grateful that I have learned how I loved and accepting, like, wow, I loved unconditionally. I gave him 100% of me. And I saw that. I saw that in his eyes when he died. I knew I loved him. I knew that I loved him. And it has taught me now to love so hard, so incredibly hard, and to realize my full potential to give love back into this world. And I don't know that a lot of people get that until you've lost the love of your life. So there is some beauty in it. I know I say that all the time. I suppose that's what pulled me out of my funk last week.
I mean, you just have to find, you know, the nugget or whatever that helps you keep going. Your humor, your faith, my support group. It's crazy.
So what have you done to keep your, when you talk about like your humor, your support group, like where do you find those support groups?
Well, the Parkinson's Center offered it. And then at church, we had a parish nurse, and she ran a caregiver support group. I found that very beneficial. Talking. I mean, women, praise God, we know how to talk. And I think that's therapy, you know?
Yeah.
I know a lot of men that don't really talk much. I think that just, you know, you just bottle that up and it's... Oof.
It does make quite a difference just to talk about it. Bring it up, share your thoughts and feelings.
And like you were mentioning, Allie, about your child, I'll talk to a total stranger about Alan all the time. And what I'm with is, you know, our sons and then the grandkids, we're just always telling Al stories. You know, it's great, yeah. But on a day-to-day basis, nobody really talks about him anymore or asks me about him or... Yeah, we're all in this hurry, move on.
What was his favorite thing to do besides golf and drink bourbon?
Fish. The man fish. Alaska, Canada. Well, Gull Lake. We had a cabin on Gull Lake. So he's taught all the grandkids how to fish.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. He used to always go out trying to catch Walter. In the last month, one of the grandkids sent me a goofy thing and said, I think it's Walter.
Oh.
Yeah, so that's very sweet.
So when I think of older men fishing in Minnesota, I think of the movie Grumpy Old Men.
Uh-huh, yeah, that's it. Yep.
Is that what he liked to do? Like get out nice fish every day?
Not ice fish so much.
Okay.
Oh my God, yes. fishing, fishing, fishing.
No, that's awesome. Was he as funny as you?
I don't really think I'm very funny.
Oh, I think you are. You're a hoot.
Hey, okay, well, he was funny. Yeah, I mean, he was very sincere and very sincere.
What was your favorite thing about him?
Wow, what a question. Well, you know, he had these brown eyes. Oh, my God. And he used to wink.
Oh, Gene.
No, I know. And, you know, it was a real pisser when his horseshit neurological, took the winking away.
Oh, and his eyes.
Somebody said once that, you know, so similar to like Alzheimer's, where it's, you know, 1,000 cuts, death by 1,000 cuts. That sounds kind of dramatic, but, you know, just a little bit of this. And then one day you notice that, oh, he's not doing this anymore. Oh,
that is hard, Gene.
That's hard. Yep, it is.
That is so hard. And just watching that happen slowly, day after day. Man, my heart breaks for you.
He kept his sense of humor, you know?
Oh, so he was funny.
Oh, yeah, he was funny. And he loved to eat. In fact, the last place that he was at, his favorite caregiver the next morning, because he gets up early, and she said to him, you know, well, what would you like for breakfast? Which I don't think he'd been asked that in, you know, 3 years. And he said, well, I'd like poached eggs on toast. And by God, she, just a minute, sir, made that. Oh, he was so happy.
Wow.
You know, he had a great appetite, kind of a legendary appetite, actually. He was a go, 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 go guy.
That's awesome.
He sounds amazing.
Yeah, he does.
I really like Alan. I don't even know him. Has he come to you in dreams at all? Have you dreamt about him?
You know, he's come to me in birds, in raptors.
Okay.
Red-tailed hawks and even a couple of eagles. Oh, my God, and a snowy white owl.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, one time he lost his wallet, and I thought, and of course I drove that. I think he put it in the trash at McDonald's because I canceled everything, but we had no repercussions at all. But I was really ticked at him. And of course, with his disease, you could never get mad at him or show any, you know, you wanted to wring his neck, but you couldn't because it had a physical effect on him. So it's like the Parkinson Center taught me, when he falls, you have to take a deep breath. And if he's unconscious, do this. If he's bleeding, do that. Otherwise, just very calmly help him back up. And, you know, that walker over there and have him get up so you don't screw up your back because you're a primary caregiver. So, I mean, these are things, you know, kind of basic things that helped. And, you know, he didn't want that disease any more than I did. So it's like, how can you get mad at him for falling and, you know, breaking 6 teeth and blood all over hell? You know, you just can't. You got to deal with it. You got to see these 6 grandkids. Oh, my gosh. There are a couple that their mannerisms. There's one that just looks just like him. It is so cool. Yeah. And now there's grandbaby. Great grandbabies.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah, it's really sweet.
Has anybody used his name? Is anybody named after him, I guess?
No. Uh-uh. But his oldest son has his middle name as his name.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, when his oldest son had his first son, then he put his dad's middle name. So, I mean, the tradition, but not Alan.
Hi, Alan.
And I think that would be okay with Alan. He wouldn't be too hung up on that. But the granddaughter, the only granddaughters, 5 boys and 1 girl, and her name is Haley Karen. So she's named for Al's first wife, who is their original grandma.
Oh, cool. That is swinging.
She is a doll. She is just really a fun, lovely young woman. Well, she told me she has a very serious boy in her life. I say boy. God, she's 28. I mean, a young man. And she said to me, you know, I think he's the one. So, yeah, we could have some weddings coming up here.
Oh, that'll be cool.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
Well, Jean, what is one piece of advice you want to share with our listeners as we start to wrap things up tonight?
Well, don't fear aging. I tell anyone who will listen, you know, go to one of these stores like a Corner Medical. Because, I mean, we spent more time in those places. Get the grab bars. You know, get this. Do whatever you can. There are so many inventions out there, and they're all in those stores. They'll all help us all age safer. Get over it. My God, face it. It's a privilege to age, right?
Yeah, amen.
Amen.
Not everybody does. So, yes.
Yep.
Yeah, it's a privilege.
Eric fell a lot too, Jean. So, because he had such low hemoglobin, he would fall quite a bit. And Eric was totally Eric. Like, he would, like, have the worst night of his life. And then he would go see the doctor in the morning. And Zabe would be like, how are you? And Eric's like, fine, no big deal. Nothing's going on. And I'm like, motherfucker, he fell three times last night. And you haven't slept in a week. Like, you're not fine.
Oh, boy.
But he also hated to, like, which he was younger. So I can see why he didn't want to. But, like, he did not like to have to use, like, adaptive devices or assistive devices at all. And it would have helped because he did fall quite a bit too.
Absolutely. Yeah. Use them. And I think that goes for sick or not.
Stay healthy. Treat your body like a temple. Be like Alan.
Absolutely. Right.
Jean, as you talk to people who are grieving, any good advice to give those who are grieving?
Well, I think in Alan's case, he died a happy man. He was well cared for, well loved by me and his family. So, and he had a huge, very deep faith in God. And not to sound all wacko, but we're going to be together again. I mean, I firmly believe it. And of course, and I'm like, okay, how does that work? But I do truly believe we will be together again. Married? I don't know.
I feel like I'm going to be with Eric again.
Right, right. But like in Al's case, he has a first wife, Karen, that he was married to for 30 years of marriage. And then with me, it was about 27. Because he wanted to have a 50th wedding anniversary party for himself. X number of years with Karen, X number of years with Jean. Well, let's just have a party. I've been married 50 years.
Oh, Alan. Did he have that party or not?
No, no. But, you know, we had a fun party after he'd been diagnosed 10 years. So 2014. And we called it a hallelujah party. And part of it is, you know, your friends, things, you're not so socially active. You know, he was very reach out, book dinner, do this, do that. And that kind of started not happening. Plus, our friends were getting older and health stuff, but... But we had a party, and it was so fun. We had a DJ, and we danced, you know.
How fun, man.
Actually, his memorial service was a good time. There wasn't a DJ, but there were a lot of people, and it was fun.
Good.
That's the way to go.
Oh, absolutely. I feel like Eric's was fun, too. We had a dance party.
Oh, yeah.
You got to have fun. I feel like it's so important.
Right. You got to celebrate them.
Yes.
They worked hard. They worked hard.
Yeah, they did. All right, Allie, anything else for Jean tonight? Or Jean, anything else for the Hot Widows Club podcast?
I'm so glad to have met you. You just bring so much joy. So thank you for sharing your story. And Alan sounds so just like a great guy. And I'm just so glad you found us. Like, I feel like it's a sign that you found us and you were able to share your story. And
oh, definitely. And I really feel like I've been, well, since I found the note in early January, and I was like, should I, shouldn't I? And I thought, well, what would I talk about? And I thought, you know what? Nobody ever talks about the agony of having to place your loved one. Because in our case, we had caregivers who, not round the clock, but we had a guy named Pete who was fabulous, took Al to the health club every day because he'd stay there for 4 hours and did all the stuff with him, gave Alan some freedom, and then all of a sudden I had to place him, and it's like, oh my God, the house is empty. You know, and it just rips your heart out. And, you know, all of a sudden it's like, I'm cooking for one? You know, pass the cereal and grab the milk, you know?
Yeah, that is hard. That is so hard. And thank you for sharing that, because I feel like it's not something a lot of people talk about either.
No, I had one friend, an older lady, just sweet as could be. And when I told her, you know, we had a date set and all that, and she just said, well, that first week that you're on your own, you're coming to my house for dinner. And I, at the time, I thought, oh, okay, yeah, I'll do that. Well, when I got there, you know, it's just, you're so emotional. So it's weird. It's like you do so much grieving then, you know, and then you're kind of micromanaging their care and trying to get the best care. But in the end, it's an honor and a privilege to care for your loved
one. Sure is. Yes, yes.
Yeah, I even kind of go like, well, just pretend he's Jesus. And yes, he's really pissed you off. Just pretend he's Jesus.
Truly is an honor that I got to be there for Herrick. I wouldn't want it any other way. I mean, I would like him here, alive.
Right, right.
And healthy. If I had to choose the alternative, I've already done it. I guess I would choose that. Already got through it. All right, guys. Well, signing off from the Hot Widows Club podcast, I'm Crystal. We have Allie and Miss Jean coming to us live from California. I hope you have the best last 10 days there. I hope it is amazing and beautiful, and you get to do all the things that you want to do.
Yes, you deserve it.
Lots of birdie chips and eagles and, yeah, maybe even all in one. You never know.
Have you ever gotten one?
Oh, for crying out loud. No. I've never broken 100.
Jean, you should golf in the Hot Widows Club podcast in our golf tournament.
What is it?
It'll be in July.
Oh, okay.
Well, even if you can't make it, I would love to golf with you sometime when you're in town.
Okay.
Let's do it.
It's a deal.
Yeah.
Let's do it. Now, are we live now? I mean,
We are live. Yep. We are still live. Yep.
Okay. Well, then I won't talk about, we're trying to put a lunch day together, right? For.
Yes.
Absolutely. Yes. We need to do that. But in order to do that, we got to sign off from the Hot Widows Club podcast. So good night, everybody.
Good night.